Secrets. Praise the Lord for the blessing to be here. It's really great to be in a place where you are hearing, well, not today, I'm preaching today, I guess, but where you can be in a church and get fed instead of having to feed and listen to it online or whatnot, but it's not the same as being together in the church. I'm sure Mrs. Poder and Dad feel the same way. It's not the same being here than it is listening online. It's so much better. It's the reason why God said, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together, amen? So it's really great to be with other brothers and sisters, because it gets dry after a while. You just, it's there in the middle of nowhere, just preaching the same thing. You ever hear that the definition of a idiot is saying the same thing, expecting a different result? I don't know what the definition of idiot. What is the definition? I can't remember the word. Insanity, that's what it is. Doing the same thing, expecting different results. That's exactly what a missionary does. He does the same thing, preaches the same way, expecting that this one might get saved, you know. It might as well people lately have been doing good things there at the church. I told them that I really didn't want to leave now because they're starting to be good. Before I preach, does anyone have a question about what we do or have an idea how we can do it better? Any ideas, any thoughts, any questions that could help answer about being a missionary, what it's like to be there where we're at? Any thoughts, questions? Nothing? Well, if you think of any, maybe I'll ask you next service. If you have your Bible, let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. Sorry, I don't have any pictures or videos. I am terrible at taking pictures. I hate it. Hate taking pictures of people that I feel like I'm robbing them or feel like they must be copyright or something and scared to do it. I don't know why I hate doing it, but they don't have anything to share along those lines. I guess I have really told you. I can't even find 1 Peter, so I'm just talking. Been there be 3 years in August, and got there not knowing anything what we were doing. I think any new preacher boy is scared to death of commitment. I think just like any young strapping guy who wants to get married, you know, it sounds really great, but you know that idea of commitment really scares you. And I think the same can be said about anyone wanting to start a church. You really want to beat around the bush and try to find some other way of doing it, and that's exactly what I did. I went over there, you know, with aspirations to be some sort of evangelist, because, you know, it's really scary to want to sit down and hunker down and be a pastor in a place for the rest of your life. And so that's what we started off doing. And I got to where I was going to get some help, and my helper, who was another pastor, we were going to go on this campaign, evangelistic campaign together, said, I got chosen to be a mayor of my city, and I didn't have any say in the matter, and just because I have some land there, everyone has to take their turn at being a mayor for 2 years, so I can't help you for 2 years. And I had just gotten there and had no idea what I was going to do. And I was there helping him out with covering his church. He has two churches. And helping him. And while he was there getting used to being mayor in the city and preaching in his other church he had there. And I can't just keep doing this forever. I got to write back home telling people what I'm doing. So I started just really crying out to the Lord, pleading with him to show me what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, I just got here. I had these great plans and aspirations, but had no idea how to go about it now. Didn't know the territory. You know, I just Google Maps is about all I had. And I thought, well, I'm just going to start on top of that hill up there. The capital of that city, of that state, is in a valley. Up on top of the hill is where basically the gospel stops. It just stops right there. There's no one preaching free salvation anywhere on that hill. And there's about 500,000 people up there on this hill. And so I thought, I'm just going to start up there, work my way down the road. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm going to try it. And all I knew was that it was cold up there. And I had no way to heating water. We were living in our bus we took down. And we left in August, and we had no way of heating water. We didn't care because it was so hot when we left. But when we got there, we were really wishing we had a plan to heat water. And so I went to this store and started looking for some copper pipe. I was going to put in a coffee can and put some candles in there or something, see if I could get water to heat up that way. Doesn't work. And I was there witnessing to a guy while I was standing in line, and he got all excited. He's like, my church has never told me anything like this. He's like, so if I got a group of people together, do you think you could tell them the same thing that you told me? And I can do that. I've been praying for some guidance in this. And he told me where to go, and he set up the date. Me and Alex went over there. They treated us like kings. I'll never forget when we went there. They had the whole school there to welcome us. The teacher comes out. I'd like to present to you Dr. William and his associate. Alex. If anyone's closer to a doctor, it's Alex. Oh, it's hilarious. And they welcomed us there. Had a great time. I went looking for another mayor, asked permission to go to his city. And Lord led us to a different place. And I was there for about 2 weeks as well. And I figured, I got this figured out. I know what I'm supposed to do in life. When some brothers that had gotten saved in Tennessee at Tennessee Temple showed up, and they're living about 30 minutes away. I said, Pastor, found you. We heard you're around here, and we'd like you to come to our city. I go, oh, sure. I figured this out. You know, we'll come in and do some tent meetings and blow on to the next city. And I said, you just find me a nice flat spot so I can set up my house and my tent, and we'll be good. Next day, they said, you know, we got this property for you. Want the church look good here and want the church look good there. Church, what church? I do tent meetings. I don't commit to anywhere. Didn't say that, but I was thinking that. And I'm like, no, Pastor, we've been praying for a church. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll call my pastor up. You know, in the back of my mind, I thought, I got to start a church eventually. I just really am scared of the idea. And he said, I call up my pastor. He's like, no, William, you got to. They want a church there. Lord's leading you that direction. You go for it. And I said, okay, well, let's see where the church would look good at. And Lord led us to a piece of land, and it's where we started out at. We were there for about a year and a half. Then we was praying for another piece of land, and Lord miraculously brought the owner to me and offered that for almost the same price. And so that's where we are now. Well, I won't continue with story. Get on with the message. Here in 1 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver. No, that's not it. That's 2 Peter. 1 Peter 2:9. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that you would please help me be able to speak your words in the spirit that you would have me to speak in. And I pray that you'd work in this church. Thank you for how you've used them thus far. Thank you for the new faces seen since last time I was here. And we ask that you would work in these three cities that are near us, Lord, that you would use this church to shine in this area. It's a very dark area, and that you'd be glorified through each one of us. Pray for the church back home, that you please work in it. Pastor Gaspar covers for me today. May you work out the details and help people to come. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you a question. What is the difference between living and surviving? Living and surviving. If someone was surviving, like in the desert or something, and let's say they have some ability or trait or talent, you know, most of those talents and abilities aren't being used while they're in survival mode. You took some rocket engineer from MIT and you got him lost in the desert. You know, he's out there in the desert. Do you think he's living his life to his fullest? Do you think some of his abilities are getting wasted while he's out there in survival mode? I believe he would be. You know, he'd be out there. He's not in his element. He's nowhere close to reaching his full potential. All he's doing out there in the desert is what? He's just putting one foot in front of another. All he's trying to do is just survive just one more day. All those talents, all those years of study there and all his schooling and all his higher education is being wasted while he's out there in the desert in survival mode. You know, when we work with our coworkers and see people at the grocery store, they're checking us out. You know, what's the thing that they are looking forward to? What's the biggest thing they're looking forward to? You talk to them, talk to your coworkers, people that aren't saved out there. It's almost Friday. What do you got planned for this weekend? I got this RV and we're going to go head out here and we're going to do this. And that's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm all for going out on the weekend and spending time with your family. But that's as big as it gets for them. And they're always talking about how much they got saved up for retirement and how they're planning on doing this when they retire and that when they retire. That's as big as it gets. There's nothing wrong with those things. But if that's as big as it gets, you know, reality, what are they doing? Are they actually living? Are they actually living their life, their fullest potential? Could we take that guy in the desert, that engineer in the desert? His milestone for him is just to live one more day. Just one more day is all he cares about. Just surviving that day, that night in the desert, that heat during the day, that's his milestone to survive that. But the same way, our coworkers, the people that we meet who are not saved, their milestone is just as trivial, just as unaspiring, just to get to the weekend, just to make it to retirement, and that's as far as they are looking. Because our lost friends, they're not reaching their full potential. They can't see the full picture because all they're doing is surviving. So what is living? What could be the definition of living? I believe living is reaching your full potential. You could say, I'm living life to the fullest. That means that you've reached your full potential. God looked down at the children of Israel there in Egypt. And there they were, building these great big pyramids, great big sphinx, just marvelous cities that they're building there for King Pharaoh. I'm sure a couple of the higher ranking ones were probably pretty proud of their achievements, thinking, you know, we did a good job on that pyramid. I mean, that thing is not square, but I mean, look at the angles on it. And God's looking down from heaven and seeing them. He's like, what a bunch of flunkies. What is that? What did God tell him to do? He said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. He said, look, guys, I want to choose you as a holy nation. I want to choose you to lift me up. I'm not going to choose anyone else. The time being, I'm just going to choose you guys. You're going to be a holy nation separated to me. I'm going to walk with you. You guys are going to worship me. And I'm going to use you for an example to the whole world. God looked down at Peter there, and Peter and Andrew there on the Sea of Galilee. There they were fishing. I mean, they were probably dirty, probably pretty poor. God says, oh, there's some serious flunkies. They can't even build pyramids. They're doing the dirtiest job almost that can exist. And like, Peter, Andrew, you guys aren't living. You guys are just surviving. You're not reaching your full potential. Peter, your full potential is to take the keys of the kingdom and you're to unlock the door in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and you're to unlock the door to the uttermost parts of the world. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Now, Peter reached his full potential, didn't he? He went from survival mode to living mode. And every one of us who are saved have been called out of surviving to living. Finish the verse for me. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's a living sacrifice? A sacrifice that is reaching its full what? Potential. A living sacrifice. Many of us hear the verse and we think, you know, present your bodies a survival grade sacrifice. Isn't too holy. Hopefully it'll be accepted by God. Sounds pretty like a reasonable service to me. That's what we hear. God says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, a life that is reaching its fullest potential. You want to know who Bear Grylls is? Bear Grylls. Come on, help me out, guys. Don't tell me you're that protected. Sheltered. My prior life, I watched Bear Grylls. I am a little bit perverted. Bear Grylls, you know, he's probably got a lot in the kitty there. And he's probably got a nice house. Probably a loaded refrigerator. But yet, he chooses to get up, get in an airplane or blimp or something, and jump out of it in the middle of somewhere. Eating worms. Drinking out of hoof prints. Getting sunburnt, frostbite. When he could be what? Sitting at home, taking advantage of all the luxuries he has. He goes from being able to live his life to the fullest there at home to going back to survival mode. You gotta bear with me on that illustration, but you know what I'm trying to say. That sounds a little silly when you think about it like that. But how much more silly would it have been for Peter to say, oh, Jesus, what am I going to do with those keys? Oh, Jesus, I'd much rather just, I'm just trying to catch a couple more tilapia here, Sea of Galilee. I just really want to get this business off the ground. I just want to really make a go at what I've tried out here. Lord, I'm sorry, but I just really, really too busy here surviving. I don't really have a desire to live my life to its fullest. That'd sound ridiculous. We probably wouldn't even hear of Peter. We'd hear of him as some guy who turned Jesus down when Jesus said, follow me. But Peter says, you know what? I'm doing nothing out here. I'm getting nothing done. And Jesus saw the full potential in Peter, and he said, Peter, follow me, and Peter followed him. And we see him now as a big mouth, but a hero of the faith. Someone who went from survival mode to actually living life to the fullest. You know, if the children of Israel there in Egypt were, Moses came by and said, guys, I want to help you guys get free. You know, you guys are just barely getting by here in Egypt. I want you guys to live. God wants you to live life to its fullest. To get your full potential. Oh, Moses, we'd love to. But Pharaoh said if we finish this pyramid by that deadline, you know, he's going to give us a 2-week weekend. I mean, we're just trying to make it to that point, and so we can just survive here a little bit longer here in Egypt. That would sound silly, wouldn't it? They wouldn't be fulfilling their purposes. They wouldn't be living their life to its full potential. But which of us were made without a purpose? Anyone here that doesn't have a purpose? God made me with no purpose. I'm purposeless. None of us can raise our hand to that. We've all been made with a purpose. God saved us. He put us here on the planet for a purpose. He saved us for a purpose. He gave us gifts and opportunities to reach this purpose. You see here in Ephesians 2:10. Look at it. Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God saved us for a purpose. He gave you spiritual gifts to complete that purpose. He gave you opportunities to be able to use those gifts that he gave you. You know, doesn't the one who saved us, doesn't he get a say in the matter? Doesn't he get a say in the matter of what our job description is? I believe he does. He has that right. He didn't just create us, but he saved us to complete that. A good question for us to ask is, Lord, am I reaching my full potential? Am I living my life to its fullest? Or am I just putting one foot in front of another? Just surviving. Just waiting for heaven to come down to me. When, what does the Lord's Prayer say? "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." On earth as in heaven. Lord, I want your will to be done on earth. I want you to use me to complete your will here on earth, as when you say something in heaven, it happens. So many are just willing to wait here on earth till the rapture comes. Just surviving one more day. Just surviving one more day, when we are told to lead rebellion. Lead rebellion against the prince of this world. Every day, what way can I rebel against the ruler of this world? Which way can I say no to my flesh? Which way can I say, you know what, devil? I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyways. My flesh is against it, but God told me to go against you. I'm going to take the fight to you. I'm going to let the Lord use me to help his will happen on earth as it is in heaven. Paul did that. See in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4:7. Second Timothy 4, start 6, I guess. "For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." That word, "I have finished my course." I have finished my course. I have lived my life to its full potential. I have been living. I haven't just been surviving, getting by, doing my bare minimum as a Christian. He says, "I have finished my course. I have fought the good fight. I have led rebellion against Satan." I think Paul lived. I don't think he was just surviving. He was actually living. I don't think he was there feeling all horrible about it the whole time either. I think when he started living, he really started living. I think he had peace in what he was doing. I think he had joy in what the Lord called him to do. Good question. Lord, am I really reaching my full potential? Can I do more for you? Or am I just surviving day by day, waiting for your return? You know, it's really easy to lure ourselves into thinking that we're living. We're really good at comparing ourselves with others. I'm really good at comparing myself with others. We get in our own little culture almost. You know what? He does that, but I know how to do that. This. You know, he makes that much, but I make this much. You know, he has this, but I have that. You know what? I think, taking the whole average of everyone I know, that I think I'm making it. You know, I think I'm actually living. I found my niche. I know how to do this. I'm getting by, providing for my family. You know, people are dependent on me and I'm fulfilling what their expectations in my life. You know, I think I'm doing pretty good. And we're really, we talk to people that are, you know, think the same way we do, and we just always just comparing ourselves, trying to level out the field and lining things up. You know how we do? Yeah, we're lining up. I think I'm living. I think I'm making it. And we're all real quick to find them survivors out there. Yeah, it's those survivors are those weed smoking, welfare cashing, first of the month shoppers at Winco. Yeah, those are the survivors. They're the ones just barely making it through. But when the Lord looks down from heaven, is he saying, what's the difference? Where's the difference? Neither one of them are completing their potential. Neither one of them are reaching their full potential I have for them. You know, encouraging thought is this. If God can take an illiterate, probably, just loudmouth fisherman, and give him the keys of the kingdom, he probably had not very much doctrinal training before Jesus ran into him. He probably was not someone that you and I would hang out with. Not some great mentor you would have your kids hang out with. But yet God chose him to give the keys of the kingdom to, with the responsibility of opening up the gospel to all these places. If God can do that with him, because he objectively looked at his life and says, you know what, I'm not living. I'm not making it. I'm not living my life to its fullest. I'm just surviving. I'm just getting by. He was honest with himself. How much more could God use you or your kids who are born in a Christian family, who have been raised up in church, hearing doctrine, hearing about how God worked in their father's life and their grandparents' life, and how God worked in the church, and how God did all these miracles, and getting a firm foundation? How much more could God use that person? If we're just willing to objectively look at our lives and be honest and say, am I really living? Am I really taking advantage of my full potential? Or am I just plodding by? Just surviving. This week I've been working with Daniel, and I've just been out there working and, you know, just really feeling good about myself. I have no idea how I got into this mess, but it's a big place where you got these excavators and you got these compactors and you got all these equipment that I have no idea how to drive. Daniel just says, go do this and go do that, and I have no idea how to do it. And I'm there loading up a dump truck or something, just scared to death, sweating horribly, trying not to hit the wrong control and hit this dump truck. But I did it. I feel pretty good about myself. You know, I didn't hit him, and I'm getting it. And I start to look, you know, I I'm making it. You know, I don't, something really wrong with me if I'm looking for the acceptance of a younger nephew. There's got to be something wrong there. But I believe that a lot of us do the same things. And me, I'm just as guilty. Thinking, you know, I'm living. I'm doing it. Wouldn't it be terrible if God's looking down at William and saying, what a flunky. He's not reaching his full potential. He could be doing so much more. All he's doing is just surviving down there, basically wasting time, hoping that the rapture comes, and he's going to come and live with me. He's just waiting, getting absolutely nothing done, just surviving one day. Wouldn't that be just terrible if that's what the Lord thought about me? I think we all should be asking ourselves, am I reaching my full potential? Am I doing everything I'm supposed to be doing? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these wonderful illustrations about how you used people that had no talents, but used them in such a great way. And there's hope for us. There's hope for us that if we are not living our life to its full potential, that we can start. You can come and use us, and we could get out of this plotting, putting one foot in front of another attitude, and start taking the fight to Satan, taking the fight to our flesh, doing the things that, the hard things, but things you want us to do. I pray that you would use each one of these young people and everyone here to not just be survivors, but to be living people who are sacrificing their lives for you. Be a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service for the one that saved us. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Pastor.